Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Vice President Harris was here locally. She'll be back in the city on Sunday with running mate Tim Walz in Philadelphia tomorrow. And then former President Barack Obama and Bruce Springsteen, they will hold that big rally and concert that's upcoming next week on Monday.
You going?
No. I'm not. The traffic, I'm just trying to get out of here on time with the traffic. As far as the Trump campaign goes, former President Trump will hold this huge rally at Penn State. We are, what are they going to cheer? We are MAGA or something. What will the cheer be? Right? Yeah. And so obviously they're playing an away game. So Trump, Penn State, State College this weekend. That is Saturday. J.D. Vance Town Hall in Harrisburg Sunday. So just looking at that one. I think it's a great idea.
What, the Penn State?
Yeah.
Well,
why not?
Because the entire campus is going to be tuned into the football game.
Well,
you know, I would do it the next
what
day
time?
Or something.
Well, I don't.
The game's at 7:30 Saturday night.
So, maybe he'll be there earlier.
That's a good thing. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, they should have monitors with the game. You know, that'd be kind of fun. I don't know.
It's probably going to be a blowout anyway.
That's true. But let's get back to, by the way, another headline is that Trump says he'd fire special counsel Jack Smith in 2 seconds if elected again. So that's one of the headlines today. Yeah, I'd fire him too. And by the way, Jack Smith, look at his record just as a prosecutor, not so special. I mean, he's had his big cases have been overturned. So you can look that up yourself in any event. Another headline. So Dan found this little gem, as I say, these are eighth grade girls. And we've talked a lot and played audio of eighth grade girls. Think about North Penn, the Lansdale area. Think about the local school districts, Bucks County, where this is an issue. And if you're a girl and you feel awkward, don't you have the right to speak out about it? Don't we teach our kids, especially our girls, right, to find your voice, Me Too, etc.? But let's continue on with this, Dan. I think it's a common theme.
Hi, my name is Jamison Fleming, and I attend Hart Middle School. The past few months, I've heard concerning reports about a biological boy using the girls' bathroom. Initially, I thought these claims were exaggerated until my friends and I encountered this person in the women's restroom. It was an uncomfortable experience. We felt overlooked and disrespected. We returned to class feeling anxious and hesitant to voice our concerns, just like many other girls. I want to be clear, while I support transgender individuals, allowing someone to use the girls' restroom can create an unsettling environment for young women like myself. It's crucial to take action to ensure all girls feel safe and comfortable in spaces designated for them. Thank you for your attention. I look forward to hearing your thoughts on this important issue.
Now stop it there, because first of all, this is, I think of when my boys, were this age. These are 7th and 8th grade middle school girls. And this right here is why you think about how advanced they are. You know what I mean? They're really impressive young ladies.
They are.
And so thoughtful and respectful and saying, well, she's polite and respectful of everybody and transgender. So this is not about trans or anti-trans or anything of that nature. They're just speaking out these are kids. And what are they, 12, 13 years old? And they're saying, I feel awkward. And I'm in my school and I shouldn't feel this way, right? This is like the most awkward point of your life. And so now, what happens next, Dan?
Yeah, so this is, again, Rochester Community Schools out in Michigan. So you hear the two girls talk, and then a mama bear comes in and kind of summarizes the overall thoughts of the two girls. So we'll hear that first, and then you got to hear the reaction of the school board members. So here's Mama Bear.
Now, I just want to be clear. These girls should not have had to be here tonight on a school night.
Right.
Right? You should be in bed or going home.
30 seconds.
I am proud that they have
listen to the hag.
The right.
Wait. Listen, did a hag just say 30 seconds?
You should be in bed or going home.
30 seconds.
I am proud that they have stood up for their rights tonight. Without a bathroom policy in place that maintains sex-based distinctions in facilities like bathrooms and locker rooms and accommodates all students' needs with unisex options, you're putting these girls at risk, as well as the boys and trans student who deserve equal rights, but not extra rights. This could have been avoided back in June of 2023, and I hope that the grown-ups can take care of this now and make the necessary actions. Thank you very much for your time.
So she respectfully doesn't even respond when the haggy lady, 30 seconds, doesn't laugh. I mean, she's obviously nervous.
We're going home.
30 seconds. She's nervous. She's up there, but she's proud of how they handled themselves, and it's a school night. They shouldn't have to be up there, and she's right. But she had a great line, you know, where she said, she talked about equality. And I think that's, what was her line again? That was a great line that she actually had, where she's saying, you should be equal. They shouldn't have to fight for it, but I think mom is correct in what she's saying. Don't you? 855-839-1210.
Deserve equal rights, but not extra rights.
Equal rights, but not extra rights. Everybody should get equal rights, not extra rights. This mom has a future. I don't know, Kevin Poles and this mom together with, you know what I mean, with the branding and Craig Stocker and the marketing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Equal rights, not extra rights. I love that. And so pretty mild, right? It's pretty, I mean, the young ladies, the 7th and 8th grade girls, very polite. Very respectful. Mom, very polite, very respectful. And now I'm dreading this. Wait for it.
We passed the LGBTQ support resolution a little while ago. The fear-mongering point was made then about this biological boys in the girls' bathroom being a safety issue. At that time, I asked for evidence that this was the case, that evidence that this would cause a safety risk. There were no cases brought forward. I researched it myself just in case I was missing something. There are no cases in our district, our state, or elsewhere that supports the claim that trans kids using the bathroom of their identified gender creates increased risk of safety for other kids. There is no evidence of that claim.
Okay, I need the audience to please.
Discomfort.
Please. If you can't be quiet, we will need to recess.
Sit back
so please.
And take it.
Discomfort
girl.
With something we are
Shut
not
up.
Used to is understandable. But what is our response to that discomfort? How do adults model an appropriate response? Is it to lean into it? Or is it to help our kids understand and de-escalate that discomfort with accurate information?
So listen to, first of all, the way that she leans into the microphone and she overmodulates. She sounds like, oh, my pretty, and your doggy too. What a nasty individual. And if I'm a school board member, a person who's involved in education, cares about the education, I would say, you know, to our young ladies, that took a lot of courage. Good for you to stand up. And I know that we're all proud of you, you know, but nothing gracious, nothing. She's just so hateful. And just think about this for a minute. What happened to believing her? What happened to that? And this person is standing, you know, is sitting right, you know, feet away from these young ladies who spoke out very eloquently and is basically saying you don't matter. The way that you feel, the way that this makes you feel doesn't matter. And you don't matter. And so you need to shut up and sit back and take it. That's what she's saying. This is a horrible message, first of all. But for her to, in that tone that's demeaning, that's demoralizing. And I remember being with Riley Gaines attending one of the events locally. And I know Riley has another event coming up that you'll hear about this weekend here. And Riley saying that she kept as an athlete, you know, competing against and having to change in a locker room where they have no choice. They have to, you know, you don't leave your underpants on when you're a swimmer, right? Because everything has to be sleek. And you have these swimsuits that you're, you know, squeezing into, and they're very tight swimsuits because you don't want a baggy swimsuit because everything is about friction, right? You're in the pool. Every nanosecond matters. And so Riley explaining that they're in a locker room with this huge a biological male with his whole apparatus hanging out right there. I'm just saying.
Like you were stopping yourself.
I know. And, you know, 6'3" individual. I was there with Riley. I mean, she's, you know, not a necessarily tall. So it's intimidating. And so, but Riley saying, you know, I was just expecting somebody at my school, she went to UPenn, Ivy League, somebody would stand up for me, the coach or the teachers or somebody. And of course her dad, and she was like, dad, not you, you know, cause dad, you could only imagine, was upset. But she realized nobody's going to speak out. Nobody's going to get this done. And thanks to Riley Gaines and those brave young women, they now lead the pathway for these girls. These are underage girls who shouldn't have to put up with this. And it makes my blood boil. It really does. And I think that we will look back on this time as just an embarrassment, quite frankly. This is why Riley Gaines and many athletes, they are suing. They're suing right now. That's I hate to say it. You know me. I'm not a litigious person. But these girls, their parents need to get lawyers. And they need to say that their civil rights are being violated. Their human rights are being violated. And that's it. Just sue. And let the courts decide. Let the courts. Court has to hear from them, I guess. That's, you know, that's my take on it. I hate to say it.
Hey, so we got some developing news out of Chester County. Guy Shiraki is going to hop on with us after the break. Some voting machines might be down and some concerning news.
Uh-oh, Chester County. Also in Chester County, a relative, thank you, Stacia, sent me that Vivek Ramaswamy and others, I guess, are at Westchester University, are going to universities across Pennsylvania. It's pretty good stuff. So we'll get into that. We'll get into the breaking news. Thanks to Guy. We got a guy. And Guy Shiraki. All that and more. Be right back. The word is, the breaking news of the moment, the SURE, the SURE system, is down statewide right now across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And we want to get the latest from where it's happening as well in Chester County. Guy Shiraki, good morning. I'm so sorry to hear this.
Good morning, Dawn. Yes, Commissioner Eric Rowe, who's one of the three elected county commissioners in Chester County, has shared this news. There are, once again, hundreds of people in line at voter services in Chester County to go voting, and they've been advised the system is off. What it essentially means to your listeners is that the statewide database of registered voters has become inaccessible. So when you show up to drop off your ballot, or when you show up to, as I call it, to mail in vote in person, they can't verify who anyone is. They can't record you as voted. So all early voting in Pennsylvania has ceased until they can get the system back up online.
This is, I think, for so many people on so many levels, this is concerning because we have this record situation, Guy, of people going out, being told that they should vote, you know, early, that they should register to vote on time, as, you know, so many did. So what do you see here? What are you hearing from, you know, even fellow voters in Pennsylvania? Does it matter which side of the aisle you're on? I just think everybody says, uh-oh, what's going on here? Because we talk all the time about election integrity, and hearing that a system is down and then people standing in line, you can't help but think, who's doing this and who benefits?
Yeah, it does give question. However, I'm going to make what may seem a strange appeal. I think in a sense, this underscores why you do want to consider going mm-hmm. to vote early. Because if this were to happen on November 5th, if this were to happen election day, there's very little that can be done about it. If the system goes down election day and you can't vote, or they can't count and record who's voted, look, this is a problem. And you hit the nail on the head. We are, so many of us are so skeptical and so cynical that when these things happen, you don't know whether it's just, you know, a problem we all have. Our computers go down, our network goes down, or somebody has done something wrong, whether it's a foreign power, somebody on the left or the right. But the reality is right now it's not happening. But again, I want to make it what may seem a contradictory plea, which is mm-hmm. this is really the reason over the next 11 days that you should find the time, if you're able to vote by mail or vote in person early, because if, heaven forbid, this happens election day, this could literally change the outcome of the race.
Yeah, and I know, I just wanted to, and this is why it's great that we're live and we're local, because I know that coming up at 1 o'clock, after this breaking news is happening, and we'll get an update from Al Schmidt, who will join our own Dom Giordano, and that's coming up at 1 o'clock today, obviously, Secretary of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. So we'll get, you know, word from Al Schmidt as to when they believe that this SURE system, when the system's going to be back up, and what that means for people. It's hard, because right now it's, you know, a lot of people might even scooch out from work, take an early lunch break. And so you hate to hear this, that voters then think, oh, shoot, you know, this was my day, I planned for this. But you make a great point, Guy, that if people can do this early, it's one more reason to get it done. And that's, that way you can come back tomorrow. There's not that finality to it.
Yeah, and it shows you, you know, much like our lives, Dawn. I mean, why in some cases some things are technologically advanced and modernized, yet we're suspect, you know, we're susceptible, rather, to these glitches. And it's a reason to consider early voting. It's a reason to understand the problems. And it's all the more reason that folks like Al Schmidt, former Philadelphia City Commissioner, Election Commissioner, now the statewide boss, the Secretary of the Commonwealth, it's why all the more reason that elected officials need to be accountable and transparent and talk to us and share information quickly. Because, you know, as I say, you want easy to vote, hard to cheat, and results we can trust. And the results we can trust part is really built around transparency and honesty. So I'm glad he's coming on, was scheduled to come on, but he really needs to explain what happened and how quickly mm-hmm. it'll get back, and what they're doing to make sure that this doesn't happen election day. What are the fail safes? And we know the stories from 2020. Yeah. Again, what's not in dispute, what we know, the things that the Democrats and Republicans agree, the counties that run out of ballot, the poll ballots, the polling places that lost power, the things that can happen election day. So I hope we get to the bottom of this, and I hope and pray that this is just your garden variety technical snafu and not somebody foreign or domestic trying to interrupt things in what is the most critical swing mm-hmm. state in the nation. But if you're in line and you can stay, stay. If you have to leave, please come back. Don't leave this to chance for election day.
Yeah, amen. I just want to touch on, since I have you, Broad and Liberty, your latest piece. So I'll just do a little promo, broadandliberty.com. Guy Shiraki, why does Kamala Harris, the vice president, prefer suburban voters to Philadelphians? A great piece, you know, in Broad and Liberty, as usual, Guy Shiraki, that you've authored. But why do you think that is? You know, she was in Delco last night. I know that maybe she feels more comfortable. If that's comfortable, I don't know. That's not so good. I mean, she's still kind of awkward.
Yeah, but again, candidates, where they go, what mm-hmm. they say, and how they spend their time tells you volumes. She's in Washington's Crossing at a staged event, as many mm-hmm. candidates, but she's at Washington's Crossing with a relatively small invitation-only crowd with Liz Cheney. She then goes to Malvern in Chester County for a state, what we're now told is essentially a play. How appropriate it was at People's Light and Theater. It essentially was a play, an invited audience with her on the stage for a, quote, town hall where no one was allowed to ask questions because pre-selected questions were there. And then last night in Delco, you know, to go to a theater in Aston mm-hmm. And not really be accessible to voters. And she was in Philly for about 10 minutes
yeah.
And popped in the 4th Street Deli, which is hardly, you know, again, I love, who doesn't love the 4th Street Deli? But the 4th Street Deli is really a political hangout. It's mm-hmm. not a neighborhood. So I've drawn the conclusion that, look, she likes staged events in suburban settings, or sort of, you know, where the elite hang out, if you will, where the important people hang out. She doesn't really, you don't see her campaigning in African-American or Hispanic neighborhoods. You don't see her shaking hands and kissing babies. A lot of the things were, you know, you don't see her wearing an apron and serving French fries. I mean, she's just not comfortable with yeah. people. And I've come to the conclusion with 11 days out, this is not an accident. She prefers to be in staged events with, if you will, a little better off people than sitting with blue collar workers or talking to, you know, families in West Philly. And as I conclude in the column, maybe it tells you who she is, and maybe she's not running to fix the problems of the working class. She's not running. She's running to talk about abortion, democracy, and Donald Trump. And to your point, I think that was on display last night. I mean, she's running for president to talk about Donald Trump, abortion rights, and all these wonderful word salads. And there are real people with real concerns. She doesn't really talk to them. Yeah. And I think those folks are coming to the conclusion, if she were to win, her presidency is not about helping them. And that's why I think more and more of them are giving pause and considering Trump.
Guy Shiraki, thank you so much for, you know, hopping on. And this is what's so great. We really appreciate you and all your great wisdom. And hopefully, like you say, this SURE system, the fact that this is down, we'll get some answers upcoming and they'll get it back up again very quickly. Thanks, Guy.
You're welcome. I'll let you know when it fixes.
Thank you so much.
We hope soon. Thanks. Yeah. Bye.
What an aggravation. I hate to hear that. And by the way, just remember, here we are, TikTok, October 24th. October 29th is the last day that you can request a mail-in or absentee ballot for the upcoming Tuesday, November 5th general election. So just, you know, keep that deadline in mind. If you're thinking about, you know what, maybe I should request a mail-in or absentee ballot, October 29th is upcoming. So it's right around the corner. And then for Election Day, just remember Tuesday, November 5th, 8 p.m. at night, that Tuesday night, 8 p.m., that is the deadline for the office to receive your completed mail-in or absentee ballot or your in-person ballot, 8 p.m. on election night. So, and then I think we're all going to be live. I think we're all going to be here election night, November 5th, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. We'll see.
You didn't get that memo?
I didn't get a memo. No. I was left out of that one.
I mean, Dom's always here.
Yeah.
But
and that man sleeps here. So.
Yeah, he sleeps here pretty much. He's like workaholic. But I think they're going to maybe rotate the rest of us, so we'll be live and local.
Oh, really?
But yeah, I better. Maybe I just better shush.
This is news to me, yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. I better shush. I thought that's what the memo said.
I'm not playing a party. I'm not trying to be mum. I have no idea what's going on. Yeah.
Well, we'll get it down. 855-839-1210 is we got a great guest coming up.
You are hot.
Thanks.
Yeah, well, that's nice. As in your mic is hot.
I know. You
are beautiful, Dawn. You are absolutely
you,
beautiful.
Dave.
Yes.
Very sweet. Very sweet. I know, my
like
husband,
the recovery there?
Here's the thing. When you're a mom and a wife, you're like the invisible woman. I always say I could go rob a bank. I could just walk in, no mask, just walk in, rob the bank.
Oh, get out of here.
Invisible woman.
No. You ever read the comments that you get in the Kalen Company morning?
They're just kind.
Yeah, okay.
They're just kind, good people.
Yeah.
Man, you know what? I don't know what it is with this election. This morning, I just like, do you feel just in a way you can't wait for it to be over?
I'm 100%
right?
There. Yeah, my mind's like 2 weeks from now. Can't wait.
And I'm always respectful.
Mental vacation coming up.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just always respectful to all sides and listening to people. But if I'm being real, and you know I am, I just think to myself, I don't even see that this should be close. As if you're just, and that was, I think it was Sharon and Shannon. We were all having, cause I forget because I'm texting people. Believe me, when I'm talking live, I'm multitasking, then I'm answering some of your stuff on the group chat on YouTube. Then I have family and friends who agree. Most of the family will criticize me because I'm not being like conservative enough. You know what I mean? So I'm getting, you know what I mean? I'm getting all this
from all sides.
Yeah, I'm hearing from all sides, and I'm trying to text and DM, and but the deal is, and my theme of the morning is get away from some of the superficial stuff as far as, you know, the vice president talking about her personality traits or anything of that nature, if she's likable or not. To me, that I agree with the statement that was made last night, which I think was the most profound statement I've heard on the campaign trail. And that was from a mom, Pam, from our area, who was on CNN, and she was just this likable mom who clearly has been through it with tragedy and her husband dying and left to, you know, raise the children, and some are in college, and she does her own taxes. And her statement really struck me at like a 2x4 on the head. You know, when they were all the pundits and they're talking about everything else and your head's kind of spinning about everything else. And you know what Pam said from our area? She just said, you know what? I'm going to vote for my kids. And her statement just shut up all those high paid, you know, these are CNN pundits, Dana Dana and Tapper Strapper. And, you know, all of them were up there, Anderson Cooper. And boom, when she spoke so clearly and said, basically, she didn't want to hear their high school gossip crud as far as all the talk back and forth with, you know, the trash talk, because she doesn't even know who these people are. She said, I'm going to vote for my kids, meaning kind of a James Carville moment. It's all about the economy, stupid. But I do think it was a profound moment, you know, because that's what you know. That's what strikes you. It's the economy. It's your kids. And by the way, not for nothing, I relate to Pam in the sense that, like Pam, you know, all of us with kids, no matter what age, my kids were in middle school when the pandemic struck. We all know how that hurt. It hurt our kids. It hurt our jobs. Like at the time, my husband, you know, being, you know, losing a job, the company sold. A lot of companies just got the heck out of business. And so now you're dealing with joblessness. You're dealing with all of this stuff. And the kids, and here in Philadelphia, remember that the kids didn't even have tablets. So what forced Philadelphia school children, remember that, online, was because they didn't even have Wi-Fi. They didn't have a tablet. So now, and all of a sudden now, because of the high crime, kids are not, they're not allowed to go outside and play, right? They're supposed to stay inside and Zoom, and now they've got a tablet, and now they've got the internet. And so for those people trying to sue, by the way, you know, Zuckerberg and all that stuff, and why don't they look at the fact that those kids had never really been on the internet that much? Now they were forced on it. You see what I'm saying? And so all of this, I just feel like there's this anger swelling up with all of us. We're sick of it. Let's get to my friend Hope Danoff, who's here, who needs no introduction. When Hope Danoff, let me just tell you this about Hope while I get to you, Hope. When Hope walks into one of these huge events where, you know, you have people like, you know, Arkansas governor, you know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Hope walks in. Everybody's like, Hope. Everybody loves Hope. Everybody knows Hope. And Hope keeps Hope alive. I'm not kidding you. So, you know, you are so positive energy, and what you're doing is fantastic. How are you, my friend?
Oh, my goodness. I want to tell you, Dawn, you are gorgeous. I want to just say yes to that. We are doing so incredible out here, and I just want to tell you that I was listening to your show, as I always do, and this morning I got a text from this lovely guy named Rudy that talked to me about, like, ballots with deficiencies. Mm-hmm. In Montgomery County releases a list of ballots with deficiency, and there's still time to correct. So what I'm saying to you is that, you know, I'm on the boots on the ground every single day throughout Philly and Montgomery County. And the bottom line is that we are going to win this election because people on the grassroots from all different walks of life are on target here. For example, a gentleman texted me yesterday. He said, I'm spending $9 for Trump for Israel, and I want to drop off 33 for you. We're going to put them at every polling place. Then I have this gentleman, Rudy, who said, listen, what we're going to do here is we're going to call each one of these people. There's like 300 with, and the Jenkintown office as well, to make sure that their ballots are corrected. They already kicked them out and said they're not going to be good. So that's another thing that's going on. I just donated from Republicans with Hope $2,000 for mailers for Trump and McCormick, and to flood Montgomery County as well. So what I'm seeing here, besides, you know, working with Trump Force 47 in Philly with the flag waving, is that people are putting their own money and their own energy into really winning this election. And it's really, you know, the other day, you know, because I talk to people always, you know, from all different walks of life, but, you know, it really came to me is that, you know, I'm sad. I'm sad for my mm-hmm. country. If you're our forefathers, could you imagine if they saw what our country looked like today? I think they would all cry.
Yeah.
It's gotten to a place where you mentioned about mothers and yeah. families where we don't recognize it anymore, and we're going to take our country back.
Tell me about the upcoming events. It's Riley Gaines, Tulsi Gabbard here at a Stand With Women big event. You know, we were just Dan was had found audio from a school board where, you know, there were 7th, 8th grade girls standing up just like Riley Gaines has done. So it's an exciting event here, it coming up here this weekend.
October 27th at 11 a.m. If anyone wants to go, just contact me at republicanswithhope@gmail.com.
And so, you know, again, Republicans for Hope. And you have some exciting news that, you know, you've been brainstorming about moving forward even past this election to keep the momentum going. So you have some exciting news of your own.
I do. What I'm going to do, Dawn, is that I'm starting something. We have the board members all together, and we're starting something, a nonprofit called Building Bridges with Hope. And what's that really about? It's about, you know, I want to bring people together from all different walks of life that we can have a common ground. Mm-hmm. 80% of the country, really, we agree on so many of these issues. And it's really, the mission statement is really a positive discourse for positive change, a broad coalition that welcomes all viewpoints. Together, we will move America forward. So it's really about bringing people together with panel discussions, what we can agree upon. But also, I want to work in the inner cities, too, about, you know, making sure that kids have Christmas, that have a parent that's incarcerated, but also helping people understand the values of the father being in the home and to create a really good, strong family structure. Because with that, there's always success behind that.
You know, Hope, I love it. I think even though we say that, oh, this is so divisive and there's a lot of ugliness, I do think that, you know, I think of the Riley Gaines of the world, the Hope Danoffs of the world, where in many ways this is, has become a positive for you and I think ignited something within your spirit. And it's really the true American spirit as a patriot. That's what you are, to move this forward and try to bring people together.
Absolutely. The thing is that I couldn't stand back and see what was happening to my country. And also my daughter lives in Israel. And just like, it just didn't look like America to me anymore. You know, I'm a woman in my 60s and I just knew what it was like before. I had a perspective. And I'm just like, what? You can't say God bless America? That's bad. We can't, you know, love our police force. We can't love our military. It doesn't make sense to me. And I'm just not going to stand by and let this happen. But the amazing thing, Dawn, is that we are going to win this election. I feel it, boots on the ground. And people are excited. They can't wait to vote. And then after this, let's join together, break bread together, and let's work on things we can work on once again together to move America forward.
Amen. By the way, you broke the number one rule. We never give our age because, you know, 60s are the new 40s. Okay. So, for the record, my friend.
I'm 20. Did I say 60? I meant
20. Hope, thank you so much. Let me tell you something. You outrun all the 40-year-olds and all the 50-year-olds, so trust me. All right, Hope Danoff, thank you so much. Until next time, my friend.
You got it. Thanks so much, Dawn.
Absolutely. Hope Danoff. She's just such a sweetheart.
Yeah, she is.
Right?
Bright light.
She is. She is a bright light. I'm so proud of her. And I knew that she would do things beyond this election, but it's really not. That's the thing I notice even on our Italy trip. We don't sit around and talk about politics.
Was Hope on the trip?
She wasn't.
Oh, okay.
But I'm just saying that's one thing that we mentioned. That would have been all she should, actually.
Yeah.
But there was one thing that on the last Italy trip, and even with Hope, we go to these events. We're not talking about politics. We're talking about life. And the policies that affect our lives, right? This hit piece by the New York Times, and perfectly placed, was it not? Less than 2 weeks before an election where they interviewed former Chief of Staff John Kelly, right? After he makes these claims against the Republican presidential candidate's views of Adolf Hitler. And it allowed then, it was teed up perfectly, wasn't it? Right before the Vice President of the United States was to go on a CNN like live town hall, she could riff, calling her opponent fascist and this and that and the other thing. There's no evidence. There's no recording. There's no tangible evidence. There are no other witnesses. But this is what is being said. Trump, and rightly so, he's furious. He did release a statement on social media and called it a complete lie, said thank you for your support against a total degenerate, John Kelly, who he says is a pure Trump derangement syndrome and hatred. And he goes on to call him other things, Jello, tough and dumb, etc. Calls him names. But in my opinion, when you hear the headlines and you hear so many people, one of the headlines first thing this morning was, well, this is basically the former chief of staff, John Kelly, calling 911. And I would submit to you, okay, that's a great analogy. You know what that's like? That's like witnessing a violent, vicious crime where somebody's just laying there and you witness the whole thing and they're bleeding and they need help and you wait years to call 911. You call 911 like, meh, yeah, I'm going to go on, and I'm going to call 911 like 4 or 5 years later, whatever that looks like. That's so this is not, you know, when you call 911, you call 911 right during or right after you see something. You call 911 ASAP. But that's not what this was. So I do love whenever you see the 911 analogy. Oh, isn't that good? 911. Yeah, we don't call 911 many years later. Okay, so I don't think this will stick. I don't think it'll gain traction. I don't. You know, we talked about it all morning, so that's all I'm going to say about it. And this, as still, you don't see much in the headlines. I know that Austin did talk about this and confirm those 3,000 soldiers training, North Korean soldiers training in Russia, and I've been updating that. But I don't see a whole lot on that. I would think that's a major story. So we talk a lot about this as far as, you know, the major headlines, but we don't really see anything other than right now talking about Trump. That's what the vice president talked about. She didn't lead. She didn't show her leadership abilities. And that's the real problem that I have with this. To that point, Gabe in Springhouse, Pennsylvania. Hey, Gabe.
Hey, Dawn. How are you?
Good.
Okay, so you must have heard me through the wires, because I thought about this morning. You know, Trump's media enablers, not only for the last 4 years and the last 3 years, as they sort of held back information about Biden's health and all the other stuff, have the nerve to come out and talk about, as Kamala Harris said, you know, Trump's a fascist. That's a really high-powered word that has a lot of negative connotation. Trump's life has been threatened, whether you like the guy or not. He's bombastic. I get it. But at the end of the day, this guy there's been two attempts on his life. I thought we were supposed to move back and be courteous. So here's what I'll just say in the 1 minute that I have left here, 10 seconds. If I'm Donald Trump, I'm holding a news conference today at 6 o'clock prime time, inviting all the other folks that want to come in, fake or not. And I'm going to tell people, say, look, you know, we get lost in our rhetoric, but these kinds of statements, they're inflaming. My family's lives have been threatened. My life has had an attempt on it twice. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I turned my head in time. And by the way, hypocrisy knows no bounds.
Yeah,
I mean, Nancy Pelosi ripped up the State of the Union address in front of 70 million people. Who's anti-democracy here? So if I'm Trump, I'm acting presidential. I'm assuming that role already. That's what I would do.
Gabe, thank you so much. You know, Trump, other social media posts, we can't afford 4 more years of Kamala. That's one. And he also put out there that he was thrilled to be back in the great state of Georgia. Thousands of proud, hardworking American patriots. I suspect that he feels like he's a news leader. So I suspect moving forward, wherever he goes, whatever he says, that's what's going to make the headline. And so maybe he just feels like, you know what, I'm going to move on. I put out a statement. This is not true. It's old news. Let's move on, America, and make America great again. Oh, and by the way, wasn't her rhetoric dangerous? After, to Gabe's point, there were two assassination attempts. One actually hit him. Let's get to Dom Giordano. The breaking story of the hour, really, is this news that the SURE program, our election machines, are down. We have people standing in lines. I'm getting texts and so on. So we're all over it, live, local. Dom, I look forward to you. You've got two huge interviews. I have no doubt, once again, you're going to break some news today.
Yeah, Al Schmidt, what a day to have him. Yeah. And after the last time, Dawn, even more questions are out there. We'll see what he says about this. And we have the Chester County Commissioner coming on in just a second to tell us what is happening on the ground out there. And, Dawn, we have this Penn State case with James Franklin I just saw, and two players accused of rape, and the refusing to answer anything on it. We'll talk about that a little bit.
Dom Giordano Show is right now.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.